Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our City Council meeting. This is the City of Arroyo Grande, and this is Tuesday, November the 12th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Next on the agenda is our flag salute. We're very happy to have the Weebelos, Den 2, PAC 13, here to do our flag salute for us. If you would please remain standing for invocation. Dr. Mayor Harnish is here from Baha'i Faith. Somebody want to say ready, begin?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
O thou kind Lord, these are thy servants who have gathered in this meeting, have turned unto thy kingdom, and are in need of thy bestowal and blessing. O God, we are as plants, and thy bounty is as the rain. Refresh and cause these plants to grow through thy bestowal. We are ignorant, make us wise. We are material, endow us with spirit. We are needy, enrich and bless us from thy boundless treasury. Thou art mighty, thou art powerful, thou art the giver, and thou art the ever bounteous. Amen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Harnish. Appreciate you being here this morning or this evening. And I think we have a portable mic for these young men, and we get to hear a little bit about what some of the things you've been doing. Okay, who wants to start?
I will.
Okay.
So with my friend in Cub Scouts, he's in a different group. We've been working on our activity badge. We do the quote, we time our quarter mile, we do our standing long jump, how many pull-ups we can do, sit-ups we can do, and push-ups we can do. We record that once a month, every time we do that, and we have to do that for the next 5 months.
Very good. Okay, who's next?
So, also, we've been doing scouting for food. We got, we left flyers by people's doorsteps that asked for them to put some canned food into a bag and leave it by the doorstep or on a curb. And we got enough food to fill up a pickup truck.
Wow. Very good.
We delivered it to the food bank.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Who's next? Who else wants to say something? Well, you're not going to let those guys show you up, are you? Okay, last chance. All right. Okay, well, thank you very much for being here. You did an excellent job. The motion carries. Moving on to item 6, special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions, and this is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward on any item that is not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters not published on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Once again, items not on this evening's agenda.
Hi. Thank you for listening. I'm Shirley Gibson. I live in Halcyon. And I just wanted to bring up the issue of traffic on Halcyon Road, where it meets the Pike, and also at Halcyon and Fair Oaks. You know, those are both kind of tragedies waiting to happen or something. And it seems, I know there's more than just the city involved, the county, Caltrans, CHP, I don't know who, but it seems like we need to just slow down some traffic. There was a collision at Pike and Halcyon last week. There's a telephone pole missing a big chunk on Halcyon Road. Then the house that got invaded by a car. And, you know, it's just too fast. When I pull into Halcyon by the post office, the traffic behind me always wants us to turn at 30 miles an hour. Well, there's pedestrians, there's people, you know, driving into the post office, out, and, you know, it's just a big mess. And it seems like both, you know, you've got a blind hill at the top on Pike, and then in both directions it's downhill, and everybody wants to put the pedal to the metal. So just trying to get some entity to take the lead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Aaron Hinkle. I reside at 196 South Alpine here in Rio Grande. Tonight, I'm on ask for your help on making city streets safer for all modes of transportation. As a professional civil engineer here in the state of California, I have a passion for road design, complete streets, which provides for safety for all within the public right-of-way. For years, I've been attempting to educate members of our community and staff on these issues. There are a couple of areas that I need your help with, one being how the city deals with ADA. A few weeks ago, a driveway was installed in the public right-of-way in the city that is non-compliant. This type of a mistake could be a problem for our city. It could cost you in a lawsuit, plus it could cost money to replace it that the taxpayers would have to flip the dime on. This location I brought to the attention of the current Public Works Director, even though this was not his area, and he is taking care of the issue. Tonight, I drove down Grand Avenue to get here. They recently poured more sidewalk on Grand Avenue westbound. Currently, they have the pedestrians detoured into the road with cones separating them between them and the live traffic. That type of detour not only does not meet ADA, it also does not meet the California Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, which states that every path still has to be compliant with ADA. That putting the pedestrians in the roadway without a positive barrier, if somebody gets hit, this city as well as the contractor will be liable because it's in the city's right-of-way. I ask your help to make sure that these types of facilities are put in so that the staff ensures that they meet the current federal standards. I have brought other issues of this type to the attention of the correct departments with no action to resolve the problem, which required me to elevate the issue to the city manager. And I've taken stuff several times to Mr. Adams, and he has dealt with it immediately to try to get the problem resolved. It's usually not resolved per standard. And that's not Mr. Adams' fault. That's part of staff's responsibility to make sure that they meet the current standards. Another point that I need your help on is with the adherence to the California Manual for Uniform Traffic Control Devices. This manual is much more than just striping on the lanes or the signs along our roads. It also gives clear guidance on what should be done in a construction zone. It covers temporary markings through getting pedestrians through a construction zone. A few weeks ago, I almost got into a head-on collision on Halcyon right in front of the police department. The reason why I almost got head-on with another vehicle was because of the current construction project, and the contractor had not put enough temporary markers out on the road. I noticed by Saturday at noon that week.
Anyone else who would like to come forward? Once again, items not on this evening's agenda. Okay, last chance. Okay, we will close community comments and suggestions, and we will move to item 8, which is our consent agenda. This is normally a group of items that the council approves in one action, unless there is an item on the consent agenda that a member of the council would like to pull for further clarification, additional discussion, or an independent action. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any of the items on the consent agenda. If you're following along tonight on the agenda, we're going to be addressing consent items 8A through 8H. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward at this time and address any of those consent items, this would be your opportunity. Once again, we'd like to ask you to keep your comments brief. Anyone who would like to come forward on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing no one, we'll close public comment on that. We'll bring it to the council. What is the will of the council this evening? Any items to poll? Okay, we have no items to poll. And so I will entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8H.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Tim, anything to read in there this evening?
No, Mayor Farrar.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Moving on to item 9, public hearings. We do have one this evening. 9A is consideration of a conditional use permit number 13-003, formally approving and entitling the farmer's market location, Olihan Alley. Good evening, Teresa and Kelly.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. As you've noticed, we've received a substantial amount of additional correspondence this evening. But with that, we'd like to proceed with the staff report and then entertain council questions regarding the report or correspondence at that time.
Okay. Is your mic on, Teresa, by chance?
It is.
Okay.
Okay, good evening. The purpose of this conditional use permit is to formally approve and entitle the farmers market in the village. As background, the Saturday Farmers Market started over 25 years ago in the village. After some research, it was determined that a land use entitlement was never issued for the market. And this picture shows the area where the farmers market takes place, which is located on city property in Olihan Alley. Currently, the farmers market occurs rain or shine every Saturday from noon to 2:30, with through traffic and parking closed off from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. There are 32 produce vendor spaces available that average 12 feet by 25 feet in size and run along each side of the parking area, with a pedestrian aisle down the center measuring between 10 feet and 20 feet in width. The Village Improvement Association designated area has 7 stalls for prepared food vendors. The market also encompasses Centennial Park and the gazebo. And this slide just illustrates how it's all laid out with the 32 spaces, and you can see the varying aisle width there. When considering this project, the Staff Advisory Committee brought up issues of adequate traffic control, waste management, emergency access, permit revocation, and adherence to county health standards. Special conditions of approval have been included in the resolution to address staff's concerns, including revocation of the permit at any time at the city's discretion, providing an insurance policy naming the city as additional insured, consistency with the county's buy local policy, compliance with all county health department rules and regulations, periodic inspections for vendors selling prepared food, providing an adequate aisle width of 12 feet to accommodate emergency vehicle access, providing adequate traffic control, and proper trash disposal. So regarding the traffic control, safety cones are currently used to discourage through traffic, which hasn't always worked very well. The condition specifically reads that the applicant shall work with the city to provide adequate traffic control, such as removable bollards, at the two access points, which are located at Short Street and South Mason Street. In conclusion, staff has determined that the project is exempt under CEQA, is consistent with the city's general plan policy to support regular local farmers markets, and recommends that council adopt a resolution to approve and entitle the existing farmers market in the village. Staff also recommends adding the San Luis Obispo County Farmers Market Association as a co-applicant to the resolution. That was missing. That's just for clarity purposes, and add the condition regarding business licenses, as I previously mentioned. I should note that the applicant has submitted a written comment opposing condition number 7 regarding buying local and giving preference to vendors that provide locally farmed produce. The intent of this condition is to financially support farmers in San Luis Obispo County and reduce the environmental costs of transporting goods from other counties. However, the viability of the farmers market relies on diversity of produce, which partially comes from Santa Maria and the Valley. Currently, about 8 of the 32 vendors come from outside of the county. The applicant has indicated that these are long-standing relationships that they've had with those 8 vendors, all of the vendors, really. After additional research and speaking with other farmers market organizers throughout the county, it appears there is merit to both sides to the buy local policy. Therefore, council may wish to discuss this condition, and staff would support eliminating the condition if determined necessary to maintain the success of the existing market. As outlined in the staff report, there are many advantages to continuing the farmers market operations at this location. The only identified disadvantage is the inconvenience for some who must find alternative parking further away from their destination during the farmers market hours of operation. This could impact some of the village businesses. As alternatives, council could modify and adopt the resolution approving the conditional use permit, direct staff to work with the VIA and SLO County Farmers Market Association to relocate the farmers market, such as to the La Pointe public parking lot. This would relieve the impact of the most convenient parking in the village, but this location is not visible from the center of the village area and is adjacent to residential development. Council considered different sites for the market in September of 2010, and Olahan Alley was selected as the preferred location for the city, vendors, and customers. So other alternatives include not adopting the resolution and directing staff to return with appropriate findings for denial, and then, of course, providing any other direction to staff. I'll be happy to answer questions.
Questions for Kelly? Okay, go ahead.
Kelly, I just have a couple questions in regards to the memo that we got late regarding some concerns about the market and buy local. And I guess my question is it that we label things whether or not they're grown locally, but it doesn't preclude people from bringing things from out of the area to sell? Is that correct?
Well, the preference is to have farmers, of course, from San Luis Obispo County. The labeling was just to inform consumers where the produce was grown.
But I guess, my question is, does that mean that they're precluded if they're outside the area, or does it just mean if they're outside the area, they have to, you know, how does that work? Because that seemed to be the gist of the memo. There was some concern like they were being singled out if they weren't from the area.
I would defer to the farmers markets representative to talk more to that issue. However, the condition that's in front of you states preference. The buy local is a generalized program that applies to, you know, different public and private, you know, entities. With the whole idea of getting local and fresh foods.
So if there were more than one, the preference would go to local, but that wouldn't preclude someone else from coming in.
That would not preclude someone else from coming in.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Teresa, we've got 32 stalls, and there are approximately 8 that are from outside the area. Are there any local farmers who have not been able to participate because there's no space for them?
Again, I would direct that question to the applicant.
Back when we did choose the preferred location, the La Point parking lot, as it's now constructed, if I remember correctly, that wasn't built at that time.
Not fully constructed at that time, that's correct.
Significantly smaller than it is. Okay, I just wanted to verify that.
I have one question, and first of all, there's something that would kind of interrupt that process if we wanted to do it?
No, there's no deadline to process in this permit. It's been, as you know, in operation for well over a couple decades in its city property. We do want to diligently pursue processing this permit since it's been brought to our attention. But with that, there's no imminent deadline before us, and we did receive a substantial amount of information right just prior to the hearing that staff hasn't been able to make our way totally through as well.
Okay, thank you.
Support that.
All right, this is a public hearing, and that means the public gets to participate. And so we would ask anyone in the audience who is here that would like to comment on 9A. This will be an opportunity for you to do so. Once again, we would ask for you to keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward and comment on 9A, our public hearing this evening.
Good evening, Council. My name is April McLaughlin, and I am a resident of the Five Cities, in particular Arroyo Grande, my hometown. And I am the one that has been following the farmers market very diligently since June of 2012. I've done a lot of studying of this. I'm the one that's provided you most of the information about how this market doesn't really fit the location or the mission of buy local, support local. I would really hope that, Mayor Ferrara, you would do exactly what you just said. Take some time to really look at what you're presenting to the public and making the public be forced with, at this point, without any input or hearing that was required. So take the time to do it right this time. That's my request. I would really hope that you guys would do that tonight. There's a lot of information to learn. You've only been getting information from one side sparingly as you've thought to ask it. You now have the ability to learn a lot more about the farmers market that you want and that you should have, but in the best way possible for the entire community and not just one improvement association. So thank you for that.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Nolan Hughes. I own Ira's Bike Shop down in the village. I would like to concur with what she just said. Take some time, read all the information, get both sides of the story. Take your time. Don't jump to any conclusions. Don't do anything brash. You have all the information now. Do it. My biggest concerns for the farmers market down in the village there on Saturdays, being my busiest day, is a little selfish. Parking's horrible. None of my customers want to come down. If there was no farmers market, my business would do better. And since I pay for a business license, and my sales tax that I generate off of my sales goes directly to the city, seems like a benefit. So, that being said, please take your time, read all the information. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Last call. Okay, we're going to close the public hearing portion of 9A. And we'll bring this back to the council, and we'll start with Council Member Guthrie.
Well, I have to admit, I came here prepared this evening to probably go ahead and approve this and move forward, because certainly the farmers market has been an important part of our scene, if you will, for a long time. But I, in reading some of the material, I do think there that maybe it is time to take a much deeper look at it. And specifically, again, I think reviewing the location, I do think with the completion of the LaPointe parking lot, we might have another opportunity there. I point out this isn't just a drive-by business. It really is a destination business, and so people are going to relocate themselves if we, in fact, found a different location that perhaps had fewer impacts. I do think a deeper review of the actual cost to the city. We have the physical costs here, the bollards, but the suggestion in some of this writing is that there's significant costs that we wouldn't incur if the farmer's market wasn't there. I'm not sure that's true, but I do think that's something that certainly we deserve to take a look at. Along with those lines, just reviewing, you did mention sort of in passing how some of the other cities do deal with these costs. Avila was certainly the example of sort of the high end, and I guess San Luis must have some sort of it. But I think somehow some sort of deeper information there on how other communities are dealing with the farmers market. And the final one here was this local.
So obviously, I would like to see that as part of the mix, and that's not to say that other homegrown stalls wouldn't be invited, but obviously I think the local community deserves the priority of what they've done in our community. So with that, I would appreciate more time to look at it, but ultimately I think whether it stays where it's at or whether it moves, we'll make a well-reasoned decision, and it'll be a continued part of Arroyo Grande life. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
I have to concur. I think that the sheer volume of things, just to read them, see what points might or might not be relevant, was too much to do tonight with the short time frame. So I'd appreciate having a little more time to look at this, and I think we'll come to a good decision if we do so.
All right. Well, I'm very happy to hear the comments from my colleagues, and, just one thing that makes me very nervous is when items like these come up and we receive public input at the last minute, and I get equally nervous when staff indicates that even they have not had time to go through all of the information that we receive on an item. So I think it's to the benefit of all of us to do as my colleagues have stated, and take our time with this, and we may wind up in the same place under the same conditions, but at least we will be able to do that with the justification that and the rationale that we were able to completely analyze the information that was submitted by the community, and that was the basis of our decision. So I suspect I sort of hinted that that might be my feeling to the city manager, and he informed me that we have some busy agendas forthcoming. So I'm not sure in framing the motion if we want to do it to a date certain or a date uncertain. What would be your recommendation?
I would recommend a date uncertain. We'll reap notice for the public hearing.
Okay, thank you. With that, I'll come back to the council and entertain a motion.
I move that we continue this item to a date uncertain.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. All right, item 10 on our agenda is continued business. 10A is consideration of an appointment to fill our vacant city council position. And we have a staff report. And Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. The purpose of this item this evening is to fill the city council vacancy that exists due to the appointment of former council member Ray to the County Board of Supervisors. At the October 8th meeting, the City Council approved a process for the appointment, which included a applicant forum that was held on October 29th for the purpose of obtaining community involvement into the process, which was moderated by the League of Women Voters. In this evening, in accordance with the approved process, each applicant has been invited to make a statement up to 5 minutes in length. After that, the City Council may ask questions to any or all of the applicants. Following an opportunity for the public to speak and council discussion, each of you has been given a applicant ranking sheet to fill out. The city clerk will then take those and tabulate the results and display the results on the screen. The procedure then sets forth that someone from the council will make an initial motion for appointment of one of the top two ranked candidates or applicants based on the total scores. Now, the deadline for the appointment is December 3rd, so it is possible to delay this item to the next meeting or to a special meeting if it were to become necessary for some reason. The four applicants under consideration now include Kristen Barnich, Dale Hansen, Barbara Harmon, and Burke.
Helpful process, and they need to be acknowledged for what they did.
Thank you. It's already been done.
Perfect. And then I just want to note that Supervisor Ray is in the audience, and I think we deserve to congratulate her for being appointed. She's well-deserving, and I don't think we've ever publicly done that. So I just want to give people the chance that if you get a chance, go talk to her and let her know that we appreciate the work that she's doing.
All right, Karen, stand up. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, if not, then we're going to go ahead and start the process. And as the city manager indicated, each applicant has 5 minutes, and you're free to sum up your comments in any way you choose. And I'm going to start with the order that we have in front of us on the ranking sheet, and we're going to begin with Kristen Barnich.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Farr and council members. I'm excited and ready to go to work on the City Council tonight, representing the people of Arroyo Grande. I've been preparing for this position for the last 9 years by serving on the Architecture Review Committee and the Planning Commission. I first became interested in city government 13 years ago when Arroyo Grande's general plan was being updated. My husband and I attended public outreach workshops held at Arroyo Grande High School and then many Planning Commission and City Council meetings. The first time I spoke out on an issue at this podium, I was 9 months pregnant. I was pleasantly surprised that as a member of the public, I could become involved, study the issue, give input, and it could be incorporated into a plan. I thought to myself, I'm this 20-something pregnant mom and they care what I think. I was hooked. A little about myself. I've lived in Arroyo Grande for 31 years and have deep roots in this community. I attended Ocean View Elementary School, Paulding Middle School, and graduated from Arroyo Grande High School. My daughters were born and are being raised here. My husband is a fire battalion chief for the city of Santa Maria. After my daughters were born, I quit working, and my career has been community service ever since. I'm involved in the local schools, my nonprofit group, my older daughter's mini sports teams, my younger daughter's dance studio, Arroyo Grande and Bloom, and the Planning Commission. People come up to me all the time to ask me questions about what's going on with the city and to share their thoughts about Arroyo Grande. This approachability is a very important quality for a city council person to have. After all, we are representing a cross-section of the community we serve. Because of my 9 years' experience in Arroyo Grande city government, I have a great working relationship with city staff, am familiar with how our city operates, and know about the challenges facing the city today. I also have a general understanding of the following: our general plan, our municipal code that includes our zoning, subdivision, parking, and sign requirements, village design guidelines, City of Arroyo Grande bike plan, our capital improvement projects, our climate action plan, CEQA documents such as environmental impact reports, and mitigated negative declarations, resolutions, specific findings for approval, and conditions of approval. Anyone who knows me knows I'm passionate about Arroyo Grande, and when I commit to do a job, I give 110%. If you decide to appoint me this evening, I will be honored to join you at the dais. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Next is Dale Hansen.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Members of the City Council, and the public. My name is Dale Hansen. I've submitted my application for the position on City Council as a way to provide service and support to my community. I bring to the table a diversified background and experience. At this point, I'd like to address my prior public service. In 2001, when I relocated from Orange County to Arroyo Grande, my wife counseled me that I need to spend more time with our 11-year-old son. And being a good graduate of Husbands 101, I listened to my wife. I guess you could say I did a good job as a father, since my son is now a deputy with Santa Barbara County Sheriff Department. In 1988, I was appointed by the State Personnel Board to serve as a member of the Westminster School District's Personnel Commission for a 3-year term. I was reappointed for an additional 2 terms by the Public Superintendent of Education. I made the decision not to seek an additional term after 9 years on the Personnel Commission. In 1996, the Westminster Chief of Police asked me to be a member of his advisory board, and I served on that advisory board for 5 years. After my service on the school district, when I received my draft notice, I reported for duty. And you could say the rest is history. Because I retired from the U.S. Army active and reserve components after 33 years as a lieutenant colonel, with my final assignment as an adjunct professor for the U.S. Army Command General Staff College. I was employed by the United States government in an hourly position, in salaried non-exempt, and with promotion to a salary-exempt position for more than 8 years. I was employed by the Northrop Corporation initially as an employment representative. I advanced to Human Resource Executive and Administrator, with my last assignment including budget development for the Human Resource Department and managing a corporate-wide climate survey for the employees. In 1992, I was offered a position as Director of Classified Personnel and served with 2 different school districts. 5 years later, I became the Director of Human Resources for Long Beach Community College District. During my time at Long Beach Community College, I had to make a decision dealing with conflict of interest. My decision was appealed through the courts all the way to the California Supreme Court, and the courts agreed with my decision. The case was very important because it resolved the issue of public officials' financial gains by their actions on governing boards. Several agencies contacted me for advice on the issue of conflict of interest during my employment. During my employment with the 3 different districts, I personally developed the budget, conducted public hearings for the budgets, prepared agendas, and supporting documents in accordance with the Brown Act. In 2001, I accepted employment with the County of San Luis Obispo as their personnel director. After 16 months, I decided the position was not a good fit, and at that point, I retired from public service. I've also been employed as an adjunct professor for Columbia College in human relations and labor relations courses. In addition to above, I currently hold 2 professional licenses with the state of California. I'm a licensed real estate broker and a real estate certified appraiser. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next candidate is Barbara Harmon.
Good evening, everyone. Maybe that's a little better. Good evening, everyone. I've lived in Arroyo Grande for over 25 years. For the past 25 years, For the past 23 years, I was employed as a peace officer for the Santa Barbara County Probation Department. For 12 of those years, I was a supervisor. It has always been my goal to serve the citizens of Aurora Grandy. Now that I'm retired, I have the ability to do so. I want to be part of the process that provides the best outcomes for the city and its residents. My experience in county government has prepared me well for this task and will make me an effective member of the City Council team. Before providing an overview of my qualifications, I want to provide the Council with the specifics of my budget and management experience. As a supervisor, I was a member of the administrative team. I was part of a fiscal year budget planning process for a $40 million budget. Each year, I participated in strategic planning. I had to prioritize my unit needs, my division needs, and weigh those with other divisions based on budget projections. Budget shortfalls and surplus would require restructuring and reorganization plans. These plans had to include funded and unfunded mandates, process improvements, policy development, revision, and implementation, and staff reallocations and reductions. My management experience involves the oversight of three state grants, including a three-year DUI grant from the State Office of Traffic and Safety, the development of grant guidelines, criteria, and assuring grant objectives were met. For 6 years, I was in a collaborative supervised unit, co-housed with Child Welfare Services, mental health, and specialized counselors. I ran day-to-day operations of a 10-unit staff with duties that included staff training, discipline, employee evaluation reports, staff vacancies, distribution of workload, arrest authorizations, and monitoring court filing deadlines. Additional experience includes dealing with potential liability issues such as workplace harassment, workman's compensation, public lawsuits, breach of confidentiality, and officer safety. I work directly with the public and address citizens' complaints. I enforce civil and penal codes. I implemented new procedures, worked under strict confidentiality mandates, and I was a liaison and worked with other agencies to achieve mutual outcomes. I liken my duties as a supervisor to my role as a city council member, in that I was required to review staff reports and exhibits, staff findings and recommendations, weigh fiscal impacts, liability concerns, and provide staff with the best course of action. As a city council member, that decision would be determining the best course of action for the city and its residents. I want to enhance our city's vitality by continuing to foster the growth and prosperity of local businesses and economic developments, by preserving our historical culture and charm, by promoting tourism, being fiscally conservative, developing a water conservation plan, by listening to the citizens' concerns, and by keeping the city safe. For the past 9 months, I have attended the City Council meetings. I've reviewed each agenda item and its staff reports. I am well-versed with the issues before the Council, such as the charter draft, the Fire Authority Benefit Assessment District, the Housing Element Update, the Historical Context Statement and Purpose, the biennial budgets for fiscal year 2013 through 2015, and conceptual plans for the Police Department and the City Corporation Yard upgrades. As such, my transition, should I be appointed as a council member, would be seamless. I will conduct thorough preparation. I will take the time to listen to what citizens have to say. I am focused in my dedication to serve and will attain the best outcomes for the city and its residents. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you so much for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. And our last candidate is Burke Nelson.
Hello and good evening, Mayor, City Council, City staff, and members of the public. Thank you for having me. My name is Burke Nelson, and I've been an AG resident for almost 2 years now, and I love it here. I'm an attorney and a single father of a preteen and a teenager. I'm also the alternate attorney on the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District's Hearing Board. I'm thrilled to be here tonight and to have your consideration for the open seat on the Arroyo Grande City Council. I'm eager to become your next City Council member for two reasons. I want to serve the people of AG, and because I know I would do a fantastic job. I want to serve the people of AG because I have a passion for helping others. It's who I am, what I do. As a dad, I serve my kids by teaching and nurturing them and by setting a good example. As a lawyer, I serve my clients by solving their legal problems. This desire to serve is nothing new, however. My parents taught me that life is bigger than me and that we all belong to a community and should always look out for and try to help each other whenever we are able. As a teenager, I volunteered in soup kitchens and at my local police department. I studied psychology in college so that I might understand people and better learn how to help them. After college, I spent several years working with homeless youth. Law school appealed to me because I could help other people solve their difficult legal problems. In law school, I helped low-income people complete and file their tax returns through a volunteer tax assistance program. After law school, I had a fellowship with Public Counsel in Los Angeles, the largest pro bono firm in the nation, where I helped educate inner-city residents about the legal system and their access to services. So I have a long history of helping others, and I seek to continue that on a much larger scale by becoming AG's next city council member. I know I would do a fantastic job as a city council member, and here is why. First of all, I'm a lawyer. On the city council's website, it states what the council does. It says that the council establishes city policies, approves ordinances and resolutions, makes land use decisions, approves agreements and contracts, and hears appeals on decisions made by city staff or advisory committees. This is my bread and butter. I work on these types of issues every day. Also, as a lawyer, I'm able to quickly identify and analyze the key issues presented, formulate opinions and solutions, and clearly communicate my opinions and solutions. I also have the time, willingness, and desire to get involved in solving the problems and issues facing our city. I'm an affable team player. I value teamwork and really enjoy working with others to build consensus. I'm also a good communicator and will communicate with my fellow council members directly and always with courtesy and respect. I have vision. I will take the long view in my approach to decision-making, always contemplating the impact our actions today will have 10 years from now. I'm also a well-intentioned person. I will have only the interests of our city in mind when making decisions. I would never make any decisions based on how it might impact my chances for re-election. I'm a logical thinker with a strong work ethic and moral core. I'm also a single dad and can balance a budget. Compared with some of the other candidates, I don't have the same amount of public service experience or time in the community, but I don't think these are deficits. I think they're assets. Whatever experience I may be lacking, I more than make up with it with my intellect, energy, desire to serve, work ethic, and dedication. And because I haven't been here that long, I'm a clean slate. I have a fresh perspective and new ideas. I come unencumbered by staid ways of thinking or beholden to any interest group. I ask the City Council for their vote. I am the only lawyer on the candidate panel. As such, I bring to the council a special skill set the other candidates don't have. I can read a statute and explain it. I can apply facts to a statute. I can analyze and interpret and distinguish case law. Moreover, I'm kind, easy to work with, and have no agenda to follow or special interest groups to please. It would be my honor to become the next city council member and to continue to take the city of AG forward in the direction the city council is currently going. Thank you, city council. Please vote for me.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. And let me come to the council now and ask the council if there's any questions that anyone has of any of the candidates. Okay. This is an opportunity for the public at large, then, to come forward. If any member of the public would like to come forward and make any comments regarding this process, this would be an opportunity.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, it's been over years since I've addressed you. It kind of feels like a family reunion here, seeing the council as well as staff is quite fun, actually. I'm here actually to speak on behalf of Kristen Barnett, who I've known for 6 years. 5 years we worked together while I was still a city employee. I guess I should identify myself. I'm Doug Perrin, 1085 Fuller Road in San Luis Obispo, retired director of Recreation and Maintenance Services. While I work in Arroyo Grande, I spoke many times about how much I admire the city council, not just because of the fact that you serve on the council, but your involvement in the community, involvement via Arroyo Grande and Bloom, the Arroyo Grande Tree Guild, the Centennial Celebration, really terrific organizations and activities that we had. And one of the things I really like about Kristen is her considerable involvement in our community. She spoke about most of those things already, but with the council's indulgence, I'm going to repeat a few of the things. Kristen's been on the Architecture Review Committee. She's been on Ocean View School PTA, Arroyo Grande Tree Guild, the Girl Scouts, Arroyo Grande and Bloom, Arroyo Grande Planning Commission. A lot of very worthwhile organizations and activities here in the city of Arroyo Grande. One thing I actually was, as I walked in here tonight, I look out here on East Branch, I see it all lit up, and I think, wow, the village really looks terrific. I think the council's probably very aware that Kristen was instrumental and a big part of the process to develop the East Branch Streetscape Project. And so we have all these wonderful trees out here that are now lit and make the village really look terrific. In addition to East Branch, she also actually got donations from people on Bridge Street, from actually businesses on Bridge Street, so that street is well planted with trees now and looks quite beautiful as well. The thing I think is most important about Kristen, however, is her 6.5 years on the Planning Commission. I think everybody on the City Council, I think all four of you actually started off as Planning Commissioners. So you're intimately aware of how familiar you become with city staff and with the processes. And that's the same thing I can say for Kristen. She's worked with all the city planning staff. She knows all the city's administrative staff. She knows the maintenance staff from coordinating tree planting projects. She also is, her kids are very involved in soccer, as is she, so she's familiar with the value of parks recreation, which is kind of my sentimental favorite, actually. Get back to where I was. All these things I mentioned, I think, are really important, and I think that with a great deal of confidence, I recommend Kristen to the City Council and urge the City Council to vote in her favor. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward and comment?
Hello again, Shirley Gibson. I know I live in the faraway country of Halcyon, but I am a native of Arroyo Grande. So I would like to make the point that before someone sits up there, that they sit back here. And by that, I mean that they attend meetings, that they serve on advisory committees or commissions, and that they have actual experience with the governance of the city. You know, there's volunteer work, and that's wonderful, but actually knowing how the city runs is very important. And I think Kristen knows the nuts and bolts of Arroyo Grande, and I think I might be in the category of the nuts, but that's okay. So I support Kristen, and I would like to see her appointed. And my mother, Minetta Bennett, could you stand? She's almost 84, and she is supporting Kristen. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Elizabeth Ruth. I'm an Arroyo Grande resident, and I was the chair of the Planning Commission until just recently. I served on the Planning Commission for 5 years with Kristen. She was a great model to me when I got onto the commission on how to prepare for meetings and how to act in meetings. She showed up to every meeting with every issue very carefully researched, independently researched. She came prepared with solutions to possible roadblocks, as well as an open mind. She was very willing to listen to constituents as well as her colleagues before making her decisions. Her level of knowledge, her depth of knowledge of the city and of governmental processes is unmatched, and that was really evident in her deliberations and her decisions. And then her obvious love for this city, I think, will make her a terrific ambassador. We were not always on the same side of each vote, but we were always able to debate and discuss things in a really professional and congenial manner. And she has good relations with everyone she's worked with, all the staff members, and it's been just a joy to serve with her. I really recommend that you appoint her to this vacant position. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
Good evening. My name is Doug Tate. Nice to see everybody. First of all, I just want to commend all the candidates for putting their names in. It takes courage, and I applaud them for doing that. And I'm sure all the candidates have a strong desire to serve and love the city. But as I see it, one of the candidates really stands out as going the extra mile and just going to the next level. She's shown her willingness to serve. She's shown her strong love to Rio Grande. And I believe Kristen Barnett, she walks her talk. I agree with what Liz Ruth just said. Also, I worked with Kristen on the Planning Commission for a short time, and it became clear to me that she not only did all the necessary homework and was totally prepared, but she also backed up her values with action, and she still does. We all know Kristen's dedication to the city, and I believe she stands out as the best choice for your next city council. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Lenny Jones. I'm here to support Kristen Barnett for City Council. You know her resume. You know her experience. I've known Kristen for 30 years. I've seen her go through elementary school, middle school, high school. Matter of fact, I know things about her mom and dad don't. She turned out to be someone Roy Grande could be proud of. She's been a good girl. She's a good woman, she's a good mom, and she's a good wife. And she will make you proud as your next city council person.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and city council members.
A little louder?
Yeah.
Is that loud enough?
My name is Karen Gotelusian, and I live at 609 Estillo Street in Arroyo Grande. I'm here to endorse Kristen Barnett for appointment to the City Council. She has been a resident of our town for more than 30 years and has been actively involved in community service. Kristen has been a member of the Architectural Review Commission, is a co-founder of the Tree Guild, and also has served on the Planning Commission for a good many number of years. Considering her experience and expertise, she simply is the best choice for appointment to city councilor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Ken Taylor, and I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande, and I also have known Kristen for a number of years. I worked with her in a business environment and found her to be very efficient and very well organized, and she got along great with everyone there. Also, I really appreciate her efforts in the trees being planted downtown. I think that really improves our environment, and I appreciate that, and I support her for the position.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
Howdy. Thor Hasselin, Arroyo Grande resident, and here to support Kristen. Probably about 7-8 years ago, I was read a small little ad about anybody interested in getting involved with adding trees to Arroyo Grande, and got involved with the Arroyo Grande Tree Guild. And over the time, with Kristen's dedication, she has nurtured that organization to be an integral part of this city, and you know all the work that it's done. And I'm here to support Kristen wholeheartedly for her role to become a city council, and also let you know that she gives great hugs. That's, she does. She hugs trees, but she gives great hugs. Every time we show up to work, you know, she tells you ahead of time what she wants you to do. You show up, and afterwards she tells you what you did and gives you the accolades. So you get the verbal hugs, but you can also get a physical hug if you want one. So that's my vote for Kristen. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
Hi, good evening. My name is Dawn Carolyn, and I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande and married with two children. With my husband, I own and operate an internet marketing business based here in Rio Grande. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak to you regarding Kristen Barnich and her possible appointment to the Rio Grande City Council. In the time that I've known Kristen, I've grown to admire her endless energy and her desire to serve others. She has always been the first to volunteer her time for the benefit of others and our community. Kristen is a person that can make a difference to the community. She's passionate about helping others. She has the talent, ability, and desire to make a difference for the betterment of Rio Grande. She is one of the best managers of time I've ever seen. She gets so much done in so little time. Combining that with her passion of serving the community gives her the fuel and the ability to effectively and quickly manage enormous workloads. I have absolutely no hesitation in recommending Kristen for the appointment to the Rio Grande City Council because I know that our community will benefit greatly. Thank you for allowing me this time to speak on behalf of Kristen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
This is going to sound like the Kristen Barnich fan club. My name is Anna Unkovich. I reside at 637 Acillo in Rio Grande. My husband and I spent a lot of time choosing this community before we moved here in 2001, and one of the big factors was the dedication and the commitment of its leaders, all of you. But Kristen also is one of those leaders, and she's one of those rare people that's a leader and a team player. And you don't see that too often in people where they can lead and dig right in and get their hands dirty and get the job done. And she is definitely one of those. And she's also one who inevitably always puts this community first. There's been a lot in the news lately about women on boards, and nothing against you men that have applied, and certainly nothing against you up here, but when there is a woman on a board, and when boards that are running corporations and running the cities have a woman, it brings a different perspective. And there's research now that indicates that there's a lot more success as well as that new perspective. Kristen gets things done, and I think she would be a real asset to this particular board. My husband, Don Dirksy, is also here. He's not up to speaking tonight, but I will say what he said in our wedding vows when it was his turn to speak. Ditto.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to speak this evening? Last chance.
Mayor Farrar, council members, for the record, my name is Jim Dickens, and I reside at 769 Branch Mill Road. And I'm privileged tonight to express my support to appoint Kristen Barnich to the Rio Grande City Council. Kristen's vast experience in city government and proven commitment to this community make her the standout candidate for this open council seat. As you're all aware, serving as a council member requires a great deal of time, energy, and patience. Kristen has demonstrated her skills and commitment throughout her tenure in various organizations and commissions to the city. She has worked tirelessly and passionately for this community, and I believe, without hesitation, that Kristen Barnich is our top choice. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Last chance. Okay, we're going to close public comment on this particular item, and we're going to now review the voting process. Kelly, would you like to describe that for everyone?
Sure. Each of you up there have an individual ranking sheet. It's listed, all the applicants are listed there, and if you would rank them from 1 to 4, with 1 being your first choice, then send them over to me, and I'm going to walk over to the laptop and display them for public review. And I'm going to insert those scores onto an overall ranking sheet, and it will total at the end. It will order the applicants and provide a ranking. Now, keeping in mind that you're scoring 1 for your first choice, so your total, you're going to the highest ranked applicant is going to have the lowest total score, and that'll be shown up on the screen as well. And that'll just assist you in making a motion. You can use those results to make a motion.
Okay, and then we'll make a motion for the top two candidates.
You could. It'll be. You'll have the top.
One
two,
of the top.
One
two.
Of the top two.
One
candidates.
Of the top two.
Right.
Yeah,
and then that person will come forward and be sworn in.
If that motion passes, then yes.
All right. And then following that, I'd just like to note for the audience, we're going to take about a 10-minute break, and then at the end of that 10-minute break, that person will be seated at the dais, whoever that person is. But before we start this process, and I know Steve has indicated his gratitude, and I know I speak for Jim and Tim and Joe as well. We are so fortunate in this city to have four outstanding candidates for this position, and it's a difficult choice when we do these kinds of things, and so I just want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to go through this process. In some cases, even though we were sort of confined to this rating system, there isn't one point that separates some of the candidates. So it's the unfortunate part of this where we have to pick one. So once again, our sincere thanks for your demonstrated interest in the future and well-being of the city. And I'd like to invite any of the council members if they wanted to make a comment.
I too want to thank everyone for taking the time and making the effort to participate, and particularly for going through the extra effort that we create in this community with the forum and everything else that you do have to go through. And I commend each of you. I think you all brought unique backgrounds and talents that certainly would be useful. And I commend you all for applying and going through the process. Thank you.
I'll echo the appreciation for your willingness to put yourself out here and be considered and willing to invest the time that's going to be required should you be selected. But as I think the question was posed during the forum that the League of Women Voters had, we can only choose one, but that doesn't mean that there aren't ways that you can still serve the city. And I would really invite all of you that don't get selected to seriously consider putting yourselves forward to serve on some of the other commissions that we have in the city. That's critical to the city moving forward, and I really invite you to consider that as a future option also. Thank you.
Okay. At this time, if you haven't already done so, go ahead with your ranking.
The other one, Tim. Oh, it's readable.
Sure. So Mayor Ferrara ranked from top to bottom. Kristen Barnage 1, Dale Hansen 3, Barbara Harmon 2, and Burke Nelson 4. Pro Tem Costello has Kristen Barnage 1, Dale Hansen 3, Barbara Hansen 2, and Burke Nelson 4.
Councilmember Guthrie has Kristen Barnage 1, Dale Hansen 4, Barbara Harmon 2, and Burke Nelson 3. And Councilmember Brown has Kristen Barnage as 1, Dale Hansen 4, Barbara Harmon 2, oops, hold on a second, 2, and Burke Nelson 3, and so this is the total on the far right-hand column. There's your top applicant, Kristen with 4, Barbara 8,
Burke. 14 and 14.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would help, huh? I didn't hit enter, sorry. So we had a tie for 3 and 4. So your top two are Kristen and Barbara.
Okay, according to the tabulation, the top two candidates are Kristen Barnage and Barbara Harmon. And that brings us back to the council, and one of us will have to make a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd make a motion that we appoint Kristen Barnage to the vacant city council position left by Supervisor Ray, who is in the audience.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Kristen, you want to step forward, please? We're going to take a short break. It is indeed a pleasure to have a full council once again. And Kristen, on behalf of all of us, congratulations and welcome to the fray.
Thank you.
I know you'll do just wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to item 11, new business. We have none this evening. Item 12, council communications. This is an opportunity for members of the council. Any announcements, observations, communication, anything? All right. Item 13, staff communication. Steve, anything tonight?
No, thank you.
All right. Item 14 is our final community comments and suggestions. Once again, invite members of the public to come forward. You may comment on anything, whether it's on the agenda or not.
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I would like to congratulate our new councilwoman. I was should have stood up and made a comment during the public hearing portion on 9A. We heard from one business owner. I think it would behoove the city's staff, especially, just to go out and walk the, up and down the village street going into each business and finding out what how they feel about the farmers market and how it might impact their business. I think that there may have been more of them here to speak, but I think that many of them may have assumed that this was kind of a done deal. So I think that we should at least go out and outreach those people. Many of them may have different viewpoints on what the traffic is in their store and in town. As far as the parking lot back here, I would say that that's the wrong place to do something. It would far greater impact on local residents as far as parking would go in the area. Now a lot of people park around the Nelson Green, and it doesn't impact the neighborhood that much. They walk across the bridge or the swinging bridge. So I think that you need to look at places where putting it will have plenty of acceptable parking. I don't believe that you would have enough spaces here to park the public and put in the farmers market. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Okay, seeing no one, we will close our final public comment period. And that will take us to item 15, which is our closed session, our adjournment to closed session. And before we do that, we will also give the members of the audience an opportunity to address the closed session item. If you're following along on the agenda, you see that it's a property issue. If you want to take a quick look, if anyone has any comments on our closed session item before we adjourn to closed session, this would be an opportunity to come forward. Anyone? Seeing no one, we'll close public comment on the closed session. And council will adjourn to closed session at this time. And once again, I want to remind the audience that any report out of closed session will occur at the next regularly scheduled council meeting. So council is adjourned to closed session at this time.